This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Alec Medford with us as always, but special guest today, it is Zach Wolchuk, and I want to disavow all of the things that were sent in the last segment to the fan text.
You are great.
Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. I also like the salary cap, okay? I don't know if that helps my case or not.
I did miss that, Gene, though. I am not good when it comes to math and numbers.
But I just wanted to throw that out
there. I didn't fit the stereotype for that mold. But 3-2-1. So is Kevin calling Zach cheap? What the hell?
No!
The morning show does like to do that bit, though.
No, I'm not.
Like, hey, who's the one person that didn't pay you for dinner, Sean? Was it Zach? No, I'm usually one of the first people to pay.
Oh, dip. I need to reach out to Sean. I did not reimburse him for dinner in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should. I think you might be pissed about that.
Okay, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I'm making note right now.
Just I'm glad that actually came up.
Thank you very much.
That's
for
freaking rude
telling
you.
That. You're right.
How Jewish of you.
Okay,
man.
I don't think that feels wrong.
I can make the joke. Just dump that, Alec, please. Let's not do that, actually. I don't want to set the standard.
All right. So the Athletic does a really good job with this at, you know, the Pro Bowl, the All-Star Game for MLB, the NBA All-Star Game. They kind of like ask some of the players some of the pressing questions of the day. So I'm going to ask you guys and then see if you agree with the players, and hopefully we'll stay out of any other rocky issues along
the
way.
Yeah.
Should an NBA regulation game be reduced to 40 minutes?
No, I don't see why that is really necessary. Would I be upset if they did it? No, not really. I kind of understood where Adam Silver was coming from, where every other sport is 40 minutes, right? Like, you've got the two halves in college basketball, Olympic play. So you want to kind of just keep this all on the same even playing field. But there are, and I don't know if basketball has this. Like, baseball is always the sport that I think about anytime there's potential change. You've got, like, well, what about the records? What about the history and the sanctity of the sport? So that would end up factoring in here if you're going to have, what, 8 less minutes in a basketball game to be able to get scores and threes and break records.
And that's true, but Cam Johnson actually went at it. He agrees with you, but he went at it from a totally different tactic, which I hadn't really thought about. He said, I think what it would do is kind of eliminate bench minutes. He said, I still think players would play 30 to 35 minutes. And all that means is your bench is playing 5 or 10 minutes, which would drastically change roster building, which is interesting because I think the whole idea was like, oh, we'd scale everybody down. And he's like, I don't think so. So they asked 14 players. All 14 of them said, no, do not reduce the time in an NBA game. Should the NBA make a rule change to impact three-pointers, like moving the line or perhaps introducing a four-point shot?
No. The four-point shot sounds a little gimmicky, although maybe for like an all-star format or something like that. That could be fun. Like, maybe you just try it out that way, and then maybe my mind could be swayed. But I think no. I think that there's always going to be an overreaction in the moment. We're having a ratings issue. Is it because of all the threes? No. You had the three-point line 20 years ago, yep. Right? And people weren't complaining about it. So I get it. Like, you've had analytics kind of taking over. But I think eventually this will correct itself, much like the running back renaissance. Everyone was anti-running back. Now, just be ready. I think you're going to see more than one running back go in the first round of this upcoming draft.
Oh. So only four said yes. Seven said no. So the idea right there is, no, probably not. And they kind of said too gimmicky. So they're with you. Which city anywhere in the world would you pick for NBA expansion? Now, I don't want to make Dallas? The people of Seattle know. Well, I hear enough of that.
I know you do. Shout out to Mike.
So Seattle is second on this list. I just wanted to let you know. Okay. But I don't want to trick the people of Seattle like the mayor of Seattle did when he brought out the basketball. And then, okay, I know you think it's hilarious, Mayor. All right, which city?
He's still laughing. He still hasn't stopped laughing.
He thought it was hilarious.
What a jerk.
Which city anywhere in the world would you pick for NBA expansion?
Anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
I think Vegas does make a lot of sense. But to me, it's Seattle. Like, let's get a team back in Seattle. Why the hell not? You've got the new arena there with the Kraken. It makes too much sense. Get the Seattle Supersonics back. And the Supersonic, the jerseys, the logo, that should all return. And I think that we're missing that in the NBA.
Do you also think that Kevin Durant, for no compensation, should automatically go back to Seattle?
Well, he's going to be a Maverick, so I'd say no.
Oh, I could see that, actually. So Las Vegas was number one. Interestingly enough, Seattle and Paris were tied for second.
Oh, Paris?
Yes.
Okay.
People say Seattle is the Paris of America.
Do they?
No. I don't think
the Space Needle is the Eiffel Tower?
Look, I don't think I've ever heard that in my life, but I will tell you this. From doing a lot of signing days, because we just passed that as well, I can't tell you how many people told me who were going to Vanderbilt that Vanderbilt is the Harvard of the South. Now, I don't know if that is an accepted phrase in regular life. I've never heard anyone in like a regular conversation say that, but every single person, I swear I'm not kidding, that was going to Vanderbilt, you'd talk to them or talk to their parents and be like, oh, you know, Vanderbilt is the Harvard of the South. The first time I heard it, I was like, what's that now? And then I heard it like eight times.
What's that now?
Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah, so I don't know. If you went to Vanderbilt and that is an accepted saying, please let me know. So I want to just read you some of these. What was your one sentence that describes your reaction to the Luka to the Lakers trade?
Goodness.
Jaren Jackson. I was double checking to make sure it was real, checking the accounts, stuff like that. Nikola Jokic, who he seems largely disinterested in all things basketball except for actually playing.
Can I hang out with my friend at All-Star Weekend?
He said, I think a trade is not such a big thing, but if you trade somebody like that, I think it becomes a little bit of a big thing and maybe players become a little bit serious about it. So even then, little bit of a big thing, is that more or less than a lot of a little thing? So this is a serious question. Is a little bit of a big thing more or less than a lot of a little thing?
That's so confusing.
I know.
I
nobody can answer.
I don't really know where to go with that.
Fair. Victor Wembanyama said, what I remember from it, what really strikes me is how the Mavs fans are hurting, how they feel. I appreciate that. I really, really do. Darius Garland, is this fake? And Chris Dunn, ridiculous, insane. Insane. Was the new All-Star Tournament a good idea?
No.
Only two people said no. 12 players.
They liked it.
Said yes.
Okay.
But they also probably didn't have to track TV ratings or anything like that.
I just
that.
Didn't like the pauses. And like they did it too much stretching out. There was a lot of fluff. Like, let's just, if we're going to do this, like, let's go. Let's play. And then if you want to have a little bit of a buffer before the championship game, then sure. Okay, fine. But there was just too much pausing in between all the games.
Did you like that they did a tribute to the Inside the NBA that's actually not going anywhere?
It's leaving TNT, though, and I guess it was like the last time it was going to be on TNT. I kind of understood it, but okay. Again, can we do that in the pregame? Like, there was just too much pageantry. We didn't need this to linger about throughout the entire show.
What is the easiest way to convince players to care about competing in the All-Star game?
I am interested if you did. I mean, we see the success hockey's had with the Four Nations.
Yes.
If you find a way to do, like, an international versus USA. I know that Giannis, I think Wemby were both NBA talking about, hey, that could be fun. Now you're playing for your country. Like, would a Luka, if he's wearing Slovenia, you know, playing for the world versus the US, is there a little bit more because I'm representing my country in this game? Or, I mean, Broadus has talked about maybe you end up doing something for charity. You don't want to let your charity down. But overall, I think that these games have all gone pretty poorly.
Yes.
I think we just do the contest. Do the skills contest, do the dunk contest, the three-point. That's what the NFL has basically turned into now. I know they play the flag football game, but the game itself, I don't think anybody is really caring about anymore.
Now, Trae Young said, quote, "I probably shouldn't be picked to be in this game anymore since I shoot like a brick house." Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that quote. My apologies.
House.
What he actually said was, "I feel like the way to make it better is to go back to East and West." I'm sorry, this is a misread on my part.
I don't know. Maybe once you get the wave of LeBron and his generation out, can you get the youngsters like Anthony Edwards and company, Wemby, for instance, to go ahead and get the competitive nature back for the game? Because I do agree with what Chuck and others were saying. Like, you guys are the reason we're having to change these formats every damn year.
Well,
because you decided you didn't want to put in any effort into this thing. We never had that issue back in the glory days.
So
back in my day.
I hate to tell you, but here are the results that made me feel like it's not going to go in that direction. One, rule changes. Two, play for the fans. Two, probably Giannis and Wemby. U.S. World Game. Seven, more incentives. Let's specifically go to Darius Garland, $1 million per player. Then Ryan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Done. Maybe you get home court advantage in game one of the playoffs if your team wins. Or a cash prize. Something that makes all-stars like, all right, I want to play for that. Mm. So it sounds like incentives is going to be the way to go.
Money?
Yes.
Money, money, money.
In 5 years, who will be the bestest NBA player in the world?
Cole Hamels.
No, that is in 3 years. Will he be an ace? Do you ever see him at spring training and you're like, man, his eyes are dreamy?
Cole Hamels?
Yeah.
No, I've actually never seen him in person.
They are.
He's got dreamy eyes.
He does.
Okay.
Fact.
I'll try to find him next week when we're out there.
Okay, good. Stay focused.
I'm
going to
go stare
question.
Into those eyes.
You don't make it weird.
I won't make it weird.
Definitely don't say Kevin told me that you have dreamy eyes.
Looks like I asked Paige Sporanic if she had, can I say the N-word? The
what?
N-I-P. Nipples.
Oh. Okay, but that made me super nervous for just
a
minute.
I'm trying to entertain the 254. They said this show is going to suck without Mike. I'm struggling to be entertained, so I'm trying to go as off the rails as possible.
Okay, well.
I feel like that would be something Mike would say.
Thanks for listening anyway. All right. In 5 years, who will be the best player in the NBA?
Wemby.
6 votes for Wemby. 2 votes for Evan Mobley. Nobody else got
Evan
more.
Evan Mobley?
Yeah. Because he can shoot the three now. Huh? Nobody else got more than 2 votes. Other people getting votes. Shea, Cade Cunningham, Jason Tatum. No votes for Luka Doncic.
Does that make you feel better about the trade?
Not really.
Maybe Nico is onto something here?
Yeah, not really. I mean, look, I understand their concerns, but like it was still our guy. And so I don't think anything that's going to happen is going to make me feel better, because even if he like continues to really, really struggle with the Lakers because he's been playing terrible right there, aren't you just going to be like, it wouldn't have been that way here? Like we would have known how to use him right, or we would have gotten our bigs back and that would have helped him out. And like... You just, there is no scenario in which I think I'm going to be like, see, we were right all along. I just don't.
Look, they win a championship. I don't care what everybody's saying. We're going to feel differently about this. We act like we're just a city of champions. We're winning championships and hanging banners every single year. The Mavericks have won championship. I remember how glorious and the tears that just swelled up watching Dirk go to the locker room and have that moment by himself in 2011. They win another damn championship here. I do think that this thing's worth it.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. I also think that a whole lot of people who are like, I don't care, I think they will care.
I think absolutely. It's the initial anger and bleep you mentality, and I get it, but I'm still rooting for the Dallas Mavericks. We cannot root for the front office. We might have a theme brewing when it comes to DFW sports, when it comes to that, but I'm still rooting for the team themselves, and the players and the coaches.
Did you root for CY and Jim Nill, right?
They're the best.
Okay.
The GOATs.
Just making sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Jimmy!
Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus my favorite sport, pocket watching, next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Zach Wolchuk in with us today. It looks like Corey will be back tomorrow, and then me, Corey, and Mike, as well as the G-Bag Nation, will all be in surprise for Texas Rangers spring training on Monday. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. Yes, for the fourth time this week, it is time for AM on the FM, 877-881-1053. Oh, man. That would be crazy. 5 straight days. Man, some people in the YouTube chat are gonna hate that. I don't know.
Oh,
I've got some like Bassic like enemies in there for whatever reason.
YouTube chat, really?
Yeah, yeah. There was one person I think 2 days ago that said I have a 7 head, and it's like, correction, it's actually 8. You know, that's why I tie the hair back, just so you can see. Look at that. I'll even move the mic so you can see the forehead in all of its glory, YouTube and Twitch. That's why you turn it on and leave it on. You get the great views, the face for radio that is Alec Medford. But we'll get the question of the day here in just a second. We're gonna pocket watch Tom Brady as well, because that's fun. The question of the day today, though, is going to be a little bit more sports-centric based on something I was reading up on this morning, and it's one of my favorite topics whenever you have big free agent moves. What is the most you would do to get your jersey number from another player? If you were the big marquee free agent signing, and you went to a new team and you're like, yes, let's get the locker room set up, get that stall all pretty, and you realize the dude next to me has my jersey number. What is the most you would be willing to do to get that jersey number back?
I would get in a fight with them.
Okay.
Now, hold on.
Physically.
Huh. Yes, because they'll say that men will sometimes become closer because of fighting.
Yeah.
And so I would say, hey, let's fight. If I win, I get my jersey number. If I lose, and then I don't know if you think it should be $25,000, where we would figure out a monetary compensation to them or to their charity or whatever the case might be. And then we'll both be able to test each other out, and I might be able to get my jersey back for free.
What would be your opening fight move? Would you just go straight with the high kicks?
I think I would go for the takedown, honestly, because I'm not afraid to absorb a little bit of punishment. And then, obviously, ground and pound.
Did you say you actually enjoy a little bit of punishment?
That's what I heard.
Every now and again. Is it really that much fun if it doesn't hurt?
I don't know. Tell me, 50 Shades of Grey.
I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh, BS. Now I know you're lying.
I haven't. Yeah. There's three
because he
of
read
them.
The book. That's why.
Oh man.
Yeah, he's a book purist.
You know for a fact I did not read that book. I do not read very many books.
At least you're honest about it.
If it's not about Star Wars or a wrestler's biography, I am probably not interested.
That's fair. My whole bookcase in my room is literally like either wrestling autobiographies, Star Wars lore, or like broadcaster autobiographies, or even like books about like how to do certain stuff in the world of broadcast. That is it. And I've read maybe 4 of them.
Look, I get it. And maybe some relationship books now that I get gifted.
Okay.
And I'm like, you don't know me at all.
I really don't read anymore.
It's a gift.
It's bad. I used to love reading. I read the Harry Potter series as a kid growing up. Got big into Harry Potter. But since then, nothing. Playing for Pizza, that was a great book.
So did you stop supporting Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling? Or
No, I mean, I still like Harry Potter, but I don't know that I'm super excited about this new show they're going to have on Max. Now, you're talking about for other reasons.
What?
Which I understand. I'm not going to be driven off sides for this, Kevin. God, you've been...
It is kind of fun to be on the other side.
You've been on one today, dude. Why don't you just take a load off? Calm down over there.
Please, man.
Just relax. Right? You're trying to start fights and stuff with people.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Do I need to bring back the ghost of Tom Landry?
No, please.
Please do.
Does he need to tell you to take a load off?
Hey, I'll be good.
Okay.
I promise.
Sure. Wolchuk, what is the most you would do to get your jersey number back if you were the new big free agent signing in a new city?
I don't have a number that I'm that attached to. I've always liked the number 24. I was born on the 24th. But otherwise, like, I don't care. Like, when I was playing football, I wore 73 for Larry Allen. But my first game ever, they didn't have 73 available for whatever reason. It was getting washed or they didn't bring it with us, so I had to wear number 69.
Oh,
maybe
nice.
That was a sign of things to come. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it was just telegraphing that you had a new career path coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
I realized it right after that game because I went up against Jackson Jeffcoat. You know him, Kevin.
Yes. He was the best damn high school football player I ever saw.
It was not fair. It was like, this dude should be in the NFL right now, and here's little me. I mean, it was awful. Picked up, thrown backwards. And I realized right then and there, as much as I love football, I'm not athletic enough. I don't have a future in this.
Yeah.
You just gave me a great idea. Maybe tomorrow for AM on the FM, the moment you realized your athletic career was over.
Yeah.
Because I just thought of mine, a humbling experience where I ran against an Olympian and I realized Yeah, I'm not made for this.
I think I know said Olympian too. I've heard this story.
I had a buddy, Quentin, which he's a Tolo, so he'll probably text me here in a few minutes, but he was friends with a ton of like really promising athletes growing up. So we would train with them. And I realized within maybe like three training sessions, I can't hang with these people. Yeah. I'm not good at this. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Thanks for the idea. But my number growing up was always number 11.
Okay.
And I think that got assigned as early as kindergarten. Remember when you had mailboxes where your graded papers
yes.
would get put and stuff? And then you had the little lockers yeah. too. Ours were assigned. They were like synonymous with your locker number. And it was just alphabetical order. I got assigned number 11. My mailbox was 11. And pretty much every year after that, I ended up getting number 11 or 12. It was always one of the two. And it was usually 11. So 11 stuck with me. And lo and behold, my first year, I think it was my first year doing track in high school, you just got the random backpacks just based on what size the, you know, the warm-ups and the uniforms fit you. It was number 11. So it always just stuck with me. So if I did go pro in anything, I would put up a fight for number 11.
So that you are attached to it. Like if you have an attachment, I get it. But I mean, I don't get these people. Like if you have a bunch of money in the NFL,
then what do you
then
care?
Then fine, whatever. Yeah. But otherwise, like I'm not doing anything crazy. Like I'll buy you dinner, bro. Can I have your number?
From the 817, by the way, I did just text Sean that I forgot to pay him for dinner. And he just gave me a kind of the like, you know, the emoji where your face is just like...
He loves his one emoji responses.
He likes the emojis. Usually for me, it's the middle finger.
Yeah.
From the 817, sophomore year, I tried to tackle Jonathan Gray. That was my last year I played football. I get it.
Dude, trying to tackle Jonathan Gray.
Unbelievable. I thought when Jonathan Gray went to the University of Texas, I was like, he's going to win a Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
He was in... Incredible.
Were you covering Plano my senior year? We played Lake Seastrunk at Temple.
Yes.
And then he went to Baylor.
That kid
was the fastest kid I'd ever seen.
Yeah, that kid was amazing as well. That is one really cool thing about covering high school football. And I know obviously you've done it as well, Alec, is you've gotten to see some incredible talents come through the Metroplex.
We're spoiled, man. We really are.
Yeah, I called a couple of North Crowley games during the playoff run.
Quentin Gibson.
Yes.
Savage.
Getting to watch him in person, it like you see the videos and everything, but then you actually are watching from the press box and you see the whole field and you can almost predict it before it happens. You're like, the ball is going to him and he's going at least 50 yards. And lo and behold, it happens right in front of your face. It's amazing to see some of these people. Texas has just so much talent, and it's not just in football, too. I've seen some great basketball players come through, like the Mansfield area where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we had Noah Syndergaard years ago at Mansfield Legacy. Like, we've had tons of great athletes that I've actually gotten to see live and in living color. And then you see them go to the league. You know, like I told this story before, I think it was in kindergarten, we had book buddies, which was just a fourth grader that would come in and read a book to you every Friday. Miles Adams, he plays for the Detroit Lions now. He's a defensive tackle, went to Rice. Like, I get to see these guys play on Sundays. It's like, it's the coolest thing ever.
What the hell happened to Kennedy Brooks? Mansfield High
running
back.
That's a great question because he
was a stud. Didn't he go to Oklahoma?
He did.
Yeah.
And he destroyed Summit every single year.
He was so
good. I
loved
watching it, but I hated playing against him.
Okay. And this is actually amazing. So I'm really glad that you brought this up. From the 254, I played football with Seastrunk at Baylor. We're good friends to this day. Nice. Please tell him that we all still remember how freaking awesome he was.
He was awesome.
He really was.
He got the corner. It was game over.
Yes.
Let's see. From the 469, Jalen Rager, another guy that was really good at the high school level at Waxahachie. Again, ran against him, played against him. He was a freak of nature athletically, just didn't work out beyond that. But, you know, some of these stories, we're going to have to really dive into this tomorrow. I'm excited about
Jalen
that.
Jalen Catalan, were you around?
Yes.
Wasn't he a legacy?
He was one of my first ever radio interviews.
Nice.
Yeah, at Nate Woods' station out there in Mansfield ISD 99.9 The Wild. We had him in studio, and we talked to him for like half an hour about, you know, committing to Arkansas at the time and, you know, what because he played both ways, but he was a smaller guy. So it was like, you know, what have people told you? Like, it was really cool to get that experience, but one of the greatest guys ever, too. So he answered everything honestly. It was like, okay, if every athlete on the planet was like this, I'm going to enjoy my career. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. But he was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
This gets the people going, dude. The texts are just going crazy now.
We have a lot of listeners that got mowed down by elite high school athletes, which I get.
It happened a lot, unfortunately, against me a lot. We got to talk about that tomorrow. I'm excited about this now. There's a long tease for you. But I did see someone, I think it was from the 214, I believe, that said I would buy them a car. That segues perfectly into what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, yeah. That could be not so bad for an athlete. For a regular human, that feels
especially
crazy.
If you're like Brock Purdy, you've got a Toyota deal.
Yeah.
That is true.
Literally just loop it into an endorsement, mm-hmm. and then you can make that happen a lot easier and probably get paid for it, too.
Oh, okay. So I would be like, hey, I would love to get you a brand new car from Platinum Chevrolet.
Yes.
On the east side of the Metro.
Boom.
It's the place to be.
And I just pull up my app and my...
Let's hell go. Yeah. TimeChevyTexas.com.
That would be amazing if I just pull up my app and the remaining balance on my Blazer was just gone now.
That oh, man. Cool. You know what?
That would be cool.
I have an idea real quick, and I'm sorry this is going to cut into your time.
No, please. I like ideas.
But I could see how you could have so much fun and make so many winning plays on Underdog that you would have the ability to go buy perhaps a brand new car from Platinum Chevrolet. Or if you really wanted to fix up the front of your house, you could probably use some of that money and go with Rhino Shield. But back to the car, if for some reason, unfortunately, you got in an accident, you know who could take care of you? Frankel.
Boom.
And you know what, Kevin? Since we're talking about money, you could get $20,000 extra if you listen to us right here on The Fan on the Odyssey app.
That's
one
right.
hour today. This All you have to do is listen for 1 hour, and you can go to the college basketball championships out in Vegas.
And this is the last week of the contest. Now, we continue to say $5,000 apiece for you and three friends. I say if you're letting those three friends go with you and they get airfare and hotel to Las Vegas, that money all funnels into
you.
So
you pocket that
$5,000. It could be $20,000. But yeah, listen at least an hour on the app. This is the last week that you can be entered into the contest.
And then go ahead and reach out to Trajan Wealth, TRAJAN, and figure out exactly how to invest that money.
Amazing.
I'm such a team player. Don't you love me?
This is amazing.
Speaking of team players, Juan Soto had to pay up to get his jersey number on the Mets because he signed that 15-year, $765 million deal. That still is wild
Question.
To read.
Do you play hardball with that? Because you know he just got $765 million, and you're like, yeah, I want $1 million.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. I know that's an insane thing to say, but he's probably like, fine.
Yeah.
Get it from
the guy. We all know how much money you just made, bro. Give me a little bit of that. You can afford it.
Get it from the guy.
That feels fair. I've done that before when I've gone out at like sports bars and stuff with buddies, and I know that they have some like six-man slips going on Underdog or whatnot. And they're like, I just hit a $600 six-man parlay. And I'm like, cool, you want to pay for my next drink? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you just got $600. And you know,
okay.
I think a $15 drink wouldn't hurt.
You know who I do want to give a big thumbs up to then is RJ Choppy. Because when he was winning, playing some blackjack in New Orleans, he was like, I got the Uber. Like, let's go. I got it. I'm taking care of it. So
what a guy.
Choppy is good about that. Usually he'll either just drive or he will hook you up with the Uber.
True. Because if you walk there and follow him, he doesn't know where he's going.
Oh, directionally challenged? I'm very much so as well.
Or maybe alcoholically challenged.
Again, it happens to the best
of us. Don't know.
So Juan Soto is going to have his number 22 jersey. And he's been wearing that since he made his MLB debut back in 2018. Brett Beatty was the man who had 22 before him. So he did say, I'll give it up. I'll give up that jersey number for a price. So what did Juan Soto do? He got Brett Beatty an $80,000 SUV and pulled up to it at spring training and said, this isn't my car, this is yours.
That's awesome.
So that was the exchange.
He could have got more.
Yeah.
I think he could have got more.
I think it could have been a $100,000 SUV. You know, SUVs, some of those makes and models, they're going crazy nowadays. It seems like you can't get a pickup truck for, you know, with all the new technology and everything for fair deals anymore. So I'd say, you know, with exchange rate and stuff that Mike likes to talk about, maybe tariffs coming into play and whatnot. but I would say that you need to get me at least a $100,000 SUV.
Okay. You know what would seal the deal for me, even if it doesn't make as much financial sense, is if they were like, here's a $60,000 car and I have $10,000 in a briefcase in the backseat. Even though that's less than the $80,000 car, I think that would sell it for me because I'd be like, oh my God, I got a briefcase full of money.
And you can do whatever you want with
exactly.
that money.
Exactly.
And just to wrap things up, pocket watching Tom Brady is fun ever since he got that almost $400 million deal from Fox. Well, on the day of the Super Bowl, he gifted his 15-year-old son a $3 million watch.
$3
million? A $3 million watch.
Is it the son he made out with?
Oh my That's a God. Great question. I'll have to look into that. But,
do you think he's going to get mad when his kid like dives in the pool with that watch on?
Yes! Because like, oh, I'm like, that's the last thing I would do is give my teenage son something worth that much money. I'd be like, once you turn 18, maybe a nice watch comes into play if I have that kind of money. I'm not giving a 15-year-old a $3 million watch.
No.
Even if it's my son, that's especially ridiculous. If it's my son, I'm like, I don't trust you to take care of that. I can barely take care of my Apple Watch, and it costs like $300. I already scratched this thing up 2 years in. So there you go. Don't give your 15-year-old son $3 million objects.
I agree.
No.
Is that the son he's trying to make up for? Because he's like, hey, sorry I ditched your pregnant mom.
That's another good point. Y'all are giving me some good research.
Perfect.
I like this. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. How does it normally turn out when the Cowboys use the franchise tag? Next, right here on The Fan.
Third and 11, Cleveland. Watson back to throw. Parsons is chasing him out. And down he goes. Lawrence got there first. And Lawrence has had a phenomenal game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
There we go.
We're going to do a bit of a deep dive on this, and I want to thank Todd Brock from the Cowboys Wire for helping out with this. The Cowboys have used the franchise tag 11 times.
11.
In history. Now, only 7 times did that player actually play on the tag. So 4 times, got the deal done, figured it out. Franchise tag was started in 1993, but the Cowboys were like, hey, we're the Cowboys. Don't worry about it. So they didn't use it until 2002. So we're going to go through the 7 where they actually used the franchise tag. And we'll see if you think it paid off or no. Flozell Adams was the first to get the franchise tag in 2002. He played on a $4.9 million tender, and he made the Pro Bowl and got a long-term deal. Made the Pro Bowl in 5 of his next 6 seasons. So that feels like a win.
I think that one was a win because I think they did sign him to a long-term deal.
Yes, yes, they did. Now, let's go to Anthony Spencer. Anthony Spencer got tagged twice. I would argue split decision. So in 2012, had his breakout season, went to the Pro Bowl. Hey, so they tagged him again. And then his season ended after 1 game. And he played 1 year of football after that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that first one, win.
Mm-hmm.
Next one?
Not so much.
Exactly. Not so much. Let's go to DeMarcus Lawrence in 2018 and 2019. He was tagged. The year in 2018 where he was tagged, he made the Pro Bowl. Feels like a win.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the second tag actually went into effect, they signed him to a long-term deal. So I won't count that one against him.
Okay.
Even though... that doesn't feel like
you don't think the contract is gone well?
No, no, I don't. Mm. Now, this is where you might disagree with me as well. 2020, 2021, Dak Prescott. Now, again, only one of those tags actually went through, and it was 2020. And I hate that franchise tag just because I thought you were to the point where you were like, hey, he's either a quarterback or he's not.
Agreed. Yeah.
And it, I mean, hell, we got 4 years down the road and we went through the exact same scenario again. Either he's your quarterback or he's not. And they were like, well, I don't know. So I think that this was a miss. Now, that's not necessarily just about Dak, although that year that he got franchise tagged, he did get hurt. But I might think it's a miss either way, just because I fundamentally don't agree with the way they did that. And then the last two, Dalton Schultz, 2022, Tony Pollard in 2023. If I told you I think both of those were failures,
damn,
Do you agree, disagree?
Pollard, I would agree with you. I don't think that one worked out. Schultz, I think, had himself a good year for the most part, but I disagreed with both of those at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I will fight for DeMarcus Lawrence. I feel like I always have. I think he goes underrated. He doesn't have the sack totals.
I got a quick note for you. NBA.
Yeah, this is big.
Wemby is out for the rest of the season.
Whoa. What is deep vein thrombosis?
Oh, man. I feel like I've heard that before, and I'm so sorry to follow up with I don't know, but I definitely feel like I've heard that before. And we just saw him on All-Star Weekend trying to circumvent the rules, amongst other things, with Chris Paul. And now he's out for the season. The heavy favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. And that's a Spurs team with him, with Castle, with Paul, that... The fact that they were even mediocre, I feel like, is they were looking pretty good going up into the world. But
is this
now,
a team tank decision, maybe? We're shutting him down.
Are they too good?
Can we get another lottery pick? Well, maybe now they just stink the second or the last, whatever, 24 games they've got left. I don't know how many it is. But
yeah, and I guess they struggled going into the All-Star break. So I guess
23 and 29.
Yeah, I forgot how woeful they were going into the break. So they have, what, like the 8th-ish worst record in the league, give or take?
Yeah. I mean, they're better than all of the teams outside of the play-in in the East still.
Okay.
But they've got the 4th worst record in the West.
Okay. So you know what? Maybe you're right. Because now if you move up to even, I believe it's top 4, your lottery odds pretty much even out. So, man. Okay.
This could be cheating here. Because they've had luck with the lottery.
I don't think this is going to happen. But then again, got Wemby. Got Tim Duncan, got David Robinson. If they get Cooper Flagg, then you know what? I'm all the way on Team Mike. F the NBA and their rigged content.
Yeah, it's rigged.
Like, that would be crazy. Wemby and Flagg and Stephon Castle. Holy moly. But he's out for the rest of the year, eh? That's tough. I like watching him play.
I do, too. That's a bummer for the NBA. I mean, he's certainly one of your bright stars. We're getting text blood clot. Is what deep vein thrombosis is in his right shoulder. It sounds sexual and violent.
Do people wear the copper socks or whatever to like help with?
Excuse me, what kind of socks?
The copper socks.
Yeah. That's what the Mayo Clinic says on their website.
Okay.
It usually happens in the leg, which is weird for what they're saying.
And so this is probably not fair, but what makes me nervous is that this is the beginning of like kind of Yao Ming style plethora of giant man health problems. And I realize this is totally different than like the foot issues that Yao Ming had and everything like that. But I do have concern about like the giant human being and all of the medical complications that come along with that. I hope this is just a one-off. He's back the next year, rocking and rolling. And I mean, he looked awesome.
He did. He looked fantastic. But you never know, these blood clot stuff.
It's scary.
Chris Bosh.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, and this is totally just going.
Man, that's scary.
Really far, like, all right, this is worst case scenario, but you really hope that that's something that's not like a career issue here.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Wemby out for the rest of the season. I am going to be curious what happens with the Spurs now. Now I know we're looping all the way back, and hopefully you've been listening this entire time.
Yeah, let's get back to the franchise tags.
So they use it 11 times. Only 7 times did they actually end up needing it. My argument is 3 times it was good, 4 times it was bad. And that's split decisioning on DeMarcus Lawrence. I think first time was good. And then I guess they didn't use it the second time. So I said the first time
was good.
You know
when I like the franchise tag is it's a player that you don't plan on keeping, but you want him for just one more year.
Yep.
Right? So like for Cincinnati, I don't know that they can really afford to pay T. Higgins if they're also going to get Trey Hendrickson and Jamar Chase done.
Right.
But they're at their best, obviously. You want to keep him for at least another year. You've got a Super Bowl window that's right now.
And I think back to 2015 as the most obvious example of this is they franchised Dez Bryant. Now, I know they got the deal done and it didn't end up mattering, but you had a crushingly awesome rush attack with DeMarco Murray and you didn't want to give him a long-term deal. That was always the thing. And I'm not normally an advocate for franchise tagging the running back, but that was a year where I was like, if you're going to use it, That dude was freaking awesome. That way you can avoid giving him the long-term deal. You can keep your team intact. And I know Romo ended up getting hurt, and it didn't really matter. But, like, in theory, I was like, you want Dez Bryant to be here for a really long time. And it feels like the Cowboys operate, whether they did that with DeMarcus Lawrence, Dez Bryant, Dak Prescott, under a totally different assumption of what the franchise tag is for.
Right. They're like using it as a placeholder for a long-term deal.
And I hate that. And it's another thing that you brought up earlier talking about, like, giving Micah the contract extension. Because right now he's on the rookie option year that clearly the Cowboys picked up. That's a static number that you can't change. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the franchise tag. You cannot change that. If you have somebody under contract because of the ridiculousness of the NFL salary cap, you can move those numbers however you want. So whenever they're like, oh, I don't know if we can afford to pay Micah Parsons and Deron Bland, well, guess what? You sign Micah Parsons right now, that saves you like $14 million, which I know is counterintuitive, but that's the way it is because then you can fudge the numbers. Whereas if you keep him on that $24 million option, you can't change that.
Yeah, it's like why the rest of the league's looking over and it's like you're paying in filthy AJ Brown 32 mil, Devontae Smith 25 mil. Like, how are you? Well, because look at all those void years they're putting at the back end of the contract.
Exactly. The KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. By the way, in case you missed it, the breaking news, Victor Wembanyama expected to miss the rest of the season. Shoulder issues with potentially the deep vein thrombosis. And I know a lot of people have said, and you brought it up, that for a lot of folks, that's like a more of a leg condition. But one of the brightest stars in the NBA, we just went through the NBA star poll of the 14 people that voted, 6 voted for Wemby to be the best player in the league in 5 years. Nobody else got more than 2 votes. Yeah. So this is obviously a very big, big player, even on the collectible scene. That's going to be out for the rest of the season. Coming up next, could the Rangers Super Soft be their best player this season? Let's talk about it right here on The Fan.